Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dukes. Welcome to Anything But Credible. This one's a little different, though. I'm going to call this one the NBA BC Pod. I wanted separate episodes to give me a reason to blabber on about basketball, basically. I was afraid that maybe the conversations that me and Keith and Griff were having would somehow, on my end, lead or turn into or relate to basketball, which most of my conversations, that's like 95% of the time that happens. So I figured, why not do something completely separate within the same podcast, just separate episodes, and give me an excuse to talk about basketball. But I couldn't have just anybody do it. Keith and Griff, they're great bullshitters, but they're not necessarily basketball guys. I might bring, you know, they might step in moving forward, who knows. But I know Keith's a huge baseball guy. Grifford, I don't even know if he really follows sports. I think he just goes for the beer, but, you know, either way. Before we call him, I want to give a little background. We went to rival high schools, played ball against each other. I wouldn't say we hated each other, but we definitely weren't friends. We weren't hanging out on the weekends. And don't tell him, but he never beat me. Literally, not once. I think 9-0 is my record against him, but that's completely off topic. Anyway, we ended up going to the same college after high school, kind of smoothed over our differences, I guess you could say. And before you knew it, every conversation we were having turned into basketball. No matter what it was, no matter where we were, who we were with, basketball. He was diehard NBA. He really put me onto the league. I was more of a college guy and a high school guy, still following national high school players that were going into college and following the college guys that were going into the league. You know, I still followed the league, but he was just strictly NBA. So that was cool. Then after school, we ended up living together for a little while, and he had always had league pass, so I was in heaven. We were just watching basketball every day. Nothing. We didn't even have cable, I don't think. We might have, but it was literally just league pass all the time, every game. And so I thought, well, who else would, you know, be better than Dieters to get to come and blabber on with me and sound, you know, like he knows what he's talking about, which he does. Dieters is probably, I don't, we'll find out, I guess, but was the craziest Kevin Durant fan I've ever seen. I mean, literally insane. I wouldn't even say, I might as go as far as obsessed, stalker, maybe. So it'll be interesting. We'll talk to him here shortly, and we'll see what he's feeling about the KD situation and everything. Also, him being a diehard Thunders fan. And now he actually is out in Boston, which is why we'll be calling him on the phone. So it'll be interesting to see. He's been out there for, I guess, man, it's probably been like 2 years now. So we'll check out where he's at with the Thunder and KD, and also about, you know, how Boston, we'll get a new look at maybe some Boston Celtics, the atmosphere and everything that's happening out there. A lot going on in the offseason with all the offseason trades, free agencies. We got the Olympics starting up this weekend, actually, this Saturday the 6th, I believe, something like that. And then as the Olympics move forward, moving into training camps and stuff, they'll be starting right around the football thing, you know, with football. So we'll have a lot to talk about. But I wanted to just give a quick intro before we get him on the line so that you guys aren't listening like, who the hell? What is happening right now? So without further ado, welcome to the NBA BC Pod. And yeah, let's call Dieters and see what see what's going on.
Hey, what's going on?
Dieters, what's up, man?
Not a thing.
Hey,
how about you?
Not much, man. Hey, wanted to say first, start off by saying thanks for coming on and joining the Anything But Credible podcast, the NBA podcast, for that matter.
Perfect. Yeah, no problem, of course.
So before we get into the directly basketball related stuff, I wanted to ask you about where you are, because you're a St. Louis guy, diehard Thunder fan, was, maybe still is, we'll get into that, but now you are currently in Boston, living in Boston. So,
correct.
I'd like to start by asking, number one, what is your thoughts of the Boston sports landscape, at least, you know, the Celtics? What's the city vibe for this year's team? I know it's kind of early. It's still the summer before the season.
Definitely, but people are talking now, for sure.
Can you feel it? Is it in the air?
A little bit. So I've been up, to give everybody a background. Yeah, I've been up here for just over a year now. Was NBA, obviously, in St. Louis, we don't have anything. So always was a big Durant fan all the way from Texas. So that kind of led me to be a Thunder fan. Since I've been up here, definitely went to a lot of Celtics games last year, and I definitely get why people like playing here. It's tons of fun. The garden's incredible. The crowd's pretty wild. It's very similar to actually the Thunder down at Chesapeake Arena, where it's pretty insane all the time. It's loud. It's crazy. They don't play as much rap music as a lot of places around the league. As I know, like, a lot of people, when they go to their first NBA game, they're shocked by music just pumping the entire game. But it's a little bit different in Boston. People are definitely excited about the Horford addition. Definitely were really let down about Durant getting away. But, I mean, they're mostly excited.
Yeah.
What's interesting about Boston is that I think the Celtics, pretty much what I've seen in the last year, are the fourth most popular team here, which you'd be really shocked by.
Very, actually.
It's very surprising, especially due to all the championships. But people are, definitely excited about it. And I think I've heard from a couple friends that I've made up here so far, they're diehards and go to at least 10, 15 games a year. They really think that they're solid number two in the East right now.
Wow. Okay, so before we get into that, just talk to me a little bit about, you know, what's coming. Is it the Al Horford move and the KD not coming? I mean, you being there, how big, you know, both those stories are major headlines. You know, how...
Yeah, so...
That being not the top sport, not the top team in Boston, I mean, what's that like? You know, is that even, are people even, you know, are they even thinking about it?
No, people were, definitely. They still were. It's just, it's more about the diehards of the other sports, I think, that are more surprising. Like, of course, the Patriots have everything, as you imagine. And of course, the Red Sox and Bruins are huge as well. I think it's just because it's in the Northeast, it's a hockey town, because of the cold weather. But it was definitely big around the city. The city was very excited about the Durant thing. When they heard the quotes after the Tom Brady meeting and all the different stuff, I mean, and Isaiah saying that he really thought he was coming and all the different stuff, they were excited. They definitely were. I think they were definitely let down, but I think the Horford thing's a good consolation prize.
Yeah, definitely.
There's still definitely some excitement around the season, and everyone is still just on their toes though, thinking, what's the next move? Because they're all still counting all those draft picks and just waiting and waiting and waiting.
Right. Well, that's the one thing everybody's been asking. What is Ainge going to do? Nobody really knows. Had a lot of options. Yeah. Didn't really use all of them that he had. So I think we got some more to come. But real quick, I wanted to ask you, what about those Jay Crowder comments? Did you catch those?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I caught wind of them. About Durant and about their meeting.
Yeah, that killed me.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely interesting. I think it was what he said about how they gave away way too much about their defense was really funny.
Yeah,
because that was, everyone knew that it was a possibility that he was going to Golden State. So I don't know why they would play film of them, how they break down Golden State's defense or on their offense.
Right.
I
so
think that's just a bad move.
So basically, for those who don't know, when KD came and met with the Celtics, like Dieter's just said, they were showing tape and doing odd things when they brought Brady to the meeting to meet with KD, right?
Yeah.
Just like kind of not necessarily basketball things you hear about when it comes to the basketball free agency? I don't even know if you do that in any sports, but definitely not in basketball. And then afterwards, when he decided not to go to Boston, obviously, and went to Golden State, Jay Crowder was saying all this stuff like, you know, that's not like what real winners do, or, you know, it's easy to go to the winning team or whatever. And then he started talking about giving away the secrets, right?
Yeah, so he was definitely mad about Durant and actually just everyone in the league. He seems to be really one of those older – he's like, I think him and Larry Bird would be best friends because the one saying, oh, I wouldn't go team up with anybody and all that. He's been a real Boston guy.
Yeah. Well,
playing to the fans.
Yeah, definitely. That was funny. So let me ask you this too. Like I said in the beginning when we started here, you, where are you at with the Thunder? Because my whole life of knowing you, it has been, I would say you are a diehard Thunder fan. I would say that I don't even know what you'd classify you as a Kevin Durant fan. I wouldn't even say a diehard. I mean, you're absolutely insane. We're insane about KD. You got to tell me, this is just a personal thing here from me to you. Where are you at right now?
I've been better. It's definitely been better recently. I was actually pretty shocked, to be honest. I really didn't think he was leaving. I read all the articles and I was thinking, just like a lot of people, I was like, staying the 1 year, signing that 2 year deal with the 1 year option just made so much sense. I don't know what I'm going to do next year still, like with my fandom. I'm falling apart.
Yeah, we have talked about it.
I'm actually surprised, Nick, that you didn't just start, you open up with this and just start laughing. I thought you were going to open up the call with just laughter.
You know,
I'm happy you at least breached another question about the Celtics first.
Honestly, I don't think people understand, like, if I just opened up, they'd be like, oh, this guy must like Durant. I don't think they'd understand, like, what level that we're at. I mean, that's what I was trying to say. Like, I don't even know how to describe. I mean, that was some serious love.
I was literally shaking. Okay, so the article, I'm sitting there refreshing my phone from 7 a.m. like when I wake up. I'm refreshing my phone, and I know the Players Tribune thing's happening because the night before, the Players Tribune switched their Twitter cover photo to a picture of Durant. I knew they were going to post it on there, and I'm opening, and I see it pop up. Like in real time, and I click on it, and I'm shaking. And literally, I see my next chapter is the header, and I didn't even have to read it because I was just like, no. Because it wouldn't have said my next chapter if he was staying. So I was just, I was shaking, like dropped my phone. I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, there's no way.
Yeah.
Because I remember, you probably remember from college, I had that Seattle Supersonic Durant poster on my wall.
Oh, yes.
Junior year, I was a huge Texas fan, ran, it was a senior year in high school, I don't remember which one. I was a huge Texas fan from that. So it's strange. Next year is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I was telling everyone I would never be a Golden State fan, and I still don't think I will. But I really don't trust myself when the actual season starts. I have no idea.
Well, we'll get to the Golden State. I want to bring that up in a second. But
what were your thoughts, by the way, on Durant leaving? Were you shocked or were you not surprised?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We've had numerous conversations about what – the smart thing would be to do and what we thought he would do, which was to re-sign and play off of Russ and do all that. And
yeah.
I think, honestly, when I heard the news of him being shopped around, I thought, okay, he's going to shop around. Then he's going to come back to OKC and he's going to say, hey, so-and-so told me they'd give me X amount of money. You know, why don't you give me double that or whatever? Then I heard about the Boston thing, and I was like, oh, this kind of sounds actually serious. And then I started turning, and, you know, random rumors like your boy Chris Broussard had been, like, speaking about the Warriors from, like, last January, you know, just, like, randomly, like, yeah, I heard from somebody that he likes L.A., and I'm like, no, you know.
Me and you both
were like, no way. So definitely.
I'm not sure how Broussard has his job.
Dude,
that's another story again altogether. But
he's got the most inside sources, the most in the league for sure.
But I think he also is making up half of those. I think half of the time he's really just going off his luck about. I feel like he got lucky with the LeBron and Wade in Miami thing, and he's just still riding that wave,
claiming
that stuff.
I think
now he can say whatever he wants and still ride that wave of, oh, I know, it's sources.
Yeah, definitely. I think ESPN might have even signed, like, gave him a contract specifically just for the LeBron break. They were like, wow, that was so good that we'll sign you to another 2 years. And just every time you speak, just say that you talk to an inside, a GM, or someone around the league. That's his classic line. I talk to my inside source, my source around the league. Like,
The worst.
But, yeah, definitely the KD thing threw me, no joke, for a big curve. I talk to you all the time. I know you're in the league with everything, especially when it comes to KD. And even our conversations, we were both like, wow.
I'm really excited for this season though. It's gonna be interesting because I just don't know. Even just for myself, for my own like fandom, not just how excited I am about the league, just to see how it goes.
Right.
Like in my heart, I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna stay with the Thunder, roll with Russ, and see what happens. But then who knows if Russ is gonna be there? It's the crazy part. So
you would classify yourself as you're still sticking with the Thunder.
At the moment, yes. But by the time the season starts, I have no idea.
What do you make real quick? Quick thoughts on the Russ situation. What do you make about what you've been hearing? Obviously, he hasn't said much or anything at all. What are your
thoughts?
The
only thing
that?
I've seen of him is, did you see the video of the guy at the airport like running up to him?
No.
And saying, it's just his fan runs up to him and says, it's like a selfie of this dude he's filming it, and he says, Russ, what do you think about the KD deal? And Russell just starts laughing like out loud, and then just walks away. That's the only thing that I've seen. It was like the most Russell response of all time.
Yeah,
but that's the only thing I've seen. And I don't know. I think the Thunder need to move him though, just because for the franchise, I don't think he's gonna re-sign.
Well,
personally,
I know a lot of people, especially I've been hearing a lot. I've been looking at the contract. Like Bill Simmons has been saying a lot lately about if he re-signs a 2-year, I think he'll make $9 million more a year, and then he can. Something like opt out sign like something crazy like $35 million a year for whatever. He'll get the veterans percentage, which is I think 35% of a max.
Yeah,
I think
35
if you're in for 10 years. So there are possibilities for that, but honestly,
I haven't talked about contracts yet because I'll lose it.
Yeah. Well, the contract thing gets really crazy. It can. But, you know, I don't know. You know, Russ is just one of those guys. I don't think that he's even thinking about a contract. I really don't. I mean, I know it's in the back of everybody's mind that's playing the league. But I think if it came down to it, he might be like, hey, you know, move me. Let me do my – I want to do what I want to do. I mean, with him, I honestly – he's kind of – now with KD going, I really have no – I have no idea what he's going to do.
Yeah, I just feel like that he's in a situation now where they're almost rebuilding. Like, they'll be borderline in the playoffs just because of him, but it'll be close. And I don't think he wants to be fighting for an 8 seed at age 27 or 28.
Right.
He wants to be competing for the title like he has been. So that's why I think it's – like, both are interested to move him and see what happens.
Well, the other thing, too, that gets me is that I was thinking maybe Presti would move him or something, but because maybe he'd make another bad move like the Harden deal or something. But
oh,
then again,
he's gotta be terrified.
He just made the they just made the Surge move, which I thought was actually a pretty good move on their part. So that kind of – I was like, maybe, you know, if they are going to do something with Russ, then they're going to – maybe they're trying to make a really good, you know, build up a really solid – a move here,
yeah,
but I don't know.
There's tons of good young people, so it's possible.
If he stays on the Thunder, what is his stat line? What's he dropping when he plays at Golden State?
Oh, my God. He traditionally does not do that well against them, but I feel like he will just be on fire, most likely, and get 35, 15, 10, or something insane.
I think
he'll take 40 shots.
I think,
he might get more than that.
Yeah, I think he might set some records. I'm thinking that... I'd like to see before that game. I'd like to see what the record is for the fewest passes. I'd like he might set a record for most turnovers, but at the same time, he might put up the biggest triple double in NBA history. I don't know exactly what that is, but it's possible.
If he gets the 35, 15, and 10 that I'm talking about, he will have 15 turnovers as well.
Yeah, so we're looking at maybe most field goal attempts, possibly most free throws attempts.
He'll get fouled a lot.
So for those of you who don't know, Dieters is a diehard basketball guy, NBA guy. But when it comes to college, it just doesn't cut it. It does not cut it for him. What are your thoughts, though?
I used to be big into it.
What are your thoughts on Jaylen Brown, right?
Yeah, Jaylen, I would say the city was excited for getting someone else, to be honest. Not that many people were that pumped about Jaylen Brown. I've watched a lot. Like, I watched a lot of his highlights up to the draft, and I think he's going to be very good. He flies. He can play D. I think he's going to be a good player. I think it was probably the safest pick at number three. Chris Dunn would have been a good pick, but, I mean, the backcourt's so packed already.
Right.
With Bradley and Thomas and Marcus Smart and everybody, it's just they couldn't really go that direction. So, I mean, I think it was a good pickup, and I've really never seen him play a full game. But I've seen his highlights, and it's absolutely incredible. I'm sorry. I really haven't watched a full Cal game ever. But his highlight reel was pretty incredible. Really raw, it looks like. But, I mean, yeah. I think it's a good pickup.
It'll be interesting to see because, you know, the Celtics definitely can develop guys, and he's going to definitely need some work, especially on a jumper. He's gonna definitely need a jumper. But he's definitely got the hustle. You know, he's got the drive, I think. He's just got to get some work going. But it was good.
Like,
I don't – 3 was super high. I was like, wow. I did not see that at a 3.
Who were you thinking they were going to pick up? Because I didn't, like, really know after the top two who
yeah.
was – I feel like I just didn't really know.
That was the thing with this year was it was kind of just like, really... you know, once you got past Dunn, you got Buddy and – it was kind of whatever,
Jamal
but they
Murray as well.
Well, they thought a lot of people were thinking that since Ainge had so many picks that he might draft Dunn or somebody and then throw in a pick and try and get somebody big was what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
they went after Jabari Brown, I think, and also after who was it? Chris Middleton, I think. They were really pushing hard for one of those two.
Oh wow, Middleton would have been nice.
But I don't think Middleton or. I don't think they're offering enough for Milwaukee's. And I'll get back to Milwaukee, by the way, if we talk about
yeah, we oh we definitely will
other things.
Yeah, we definitely
you know it was Giannis.
Yeah, we'll get to that in 1 second. the reason I bring up the draft is because I wanted to ask obviously what you thought about Boston, but my other thing is, you don't necessarily know much about or follow the college game, but I think. Once they get into the league, I think, you know, you have a pretty good judgment on if somebody can play ball or if they're going to need a lot of work. Yeah. From the guys that are coming out, from those top 10 guys that you saw, or anybody else really, who are you rooting for? Who are you looking at like, okay, you know, he might turn out to be a really good player?
I don't want to just go right back to Chris Dunn, but I really think Chris Dunn's going to be incredible. I think the Timberwolves move Rubio before the end of the year. I really think they do because I think Chris Dunn's going to come out and just be playing incredible. I think his court vision looks incredible. He's quick. He's not crazy athletic, but he still is. He's a good athlete. Play D.
Oh yeah.
I think Chris Dunn's going to be a really good player out of that draft.
I have to agree with you. I he was one that I was definitely looking for, will be looking for. For those who don't know, Chris Dunn was it like basically a two-guard from Providence. He played a lot of the 1-2 just because he was so good. He's just one of those guys that can literally create his own shot out of anything. Had a pretty good combine, actually, and surprisingly, and I think people realize that he's a little more athletic than they thought, but he's one of those four-year guys that, you know, I think he led the team scoring every year or something. I think he might have even led the conference 1 year. But one of those guys.
Yeah, I think he won conference player of the year.
Player of the year, yeah.
The last 2 years, I think.
Right.
So, I mean,
so,
Providence, which is, I mean, Big East is kind of, I think, falling off from what I've heard, but.
Yeah. Yeah, but it definitely you could tell that he was, especially in that conference, that he was just a whole head above everybody else, really.
You're probably surprised I said that, too, because, you know, I always do say that if that senior was really that good, he wouldn't be in college anymore. But I really do believe that he can actually play. I think he's going to be good.
Well, a couple four-year guys. I was going to say the other four-year guy that I was praying that would fall down to the Nuggets was Buddy. I really wanted Buddy Hield to be a Nugget. Now, hold on. Before I go any further, I have to tell everybody, yes, I'm a Nuggets fan. I've been a Nuggets fan for a very long time. Before I realized that Kroenke owned the team, everybody, okay? So I apologize for that. If it makes it any consolation, any better, he doesn't – his son runs the team. So, I mean, he literally just bought it and then gave it off. So it's not exactly related to Stan, but it is. So I do apologize for that. But I have to say this, Dieters, this draft this year – no, I'm not going to talk about the Nuggets at all because they're, you have to at least have a decent season in order to be brought up on a good conversation. But I just to tell everybody, this draft was the last straw. If they didn't do it the right way, because the last few drafts I've not been satisfied with, but they chose Jamal Murray at, was it 7, 8?
Yeah, I think 7.
7. And he has just been, he killed the summer, no, he killed the summer league. And I know.
I think that was a good pickup.
I know you
and
love.
You love the summer league.
Dieters loves the summer league.
No, the last time I loved the summer league was Adam Morrison's last run with the Nets,
oh
about 2-3 years ago, and he scored 25 a game and then got cut.
Can you tell everybody how much you loved Adam Morrison in college?
No, let's disregard that because you just told him that I had a pretty good understanding of who was good at basketball. I can't follow it up with
that guy.
He used to love Adam Morrison.
he was one of the best players in the country. Did he win Player of the Year, or he was like a finalist at least? Did he win Player of the Year?
Yeah, it was him and JJ. I think they split them in the different ones.
So
but yeah, disregard Adam Morrison's existence. That was my bad.
I wouldn't say that it's
a
bad judgment. Well, we've talked about this multiple times too. That the NBA is just weird when it comes to that. When you got these guys, somebody like Adam Morrison, who literally is a finalist for the Player of the Year and of the entire country, turns out to not even sits the bench, doesn't even make the bench, doesn't even tries to get on the coaching squad, doesn't even make the coaching squad. I think now he's back on the staff of Gonzaga. But then you got guys like Damian Lillard, who you didn't hear about him in college, maybe at the conference tournament, which I don't even know how far they went. Or you've got these guys like
teams in college. It's just so hard.
It's crazy. You know,
it's too many teams in Division One, and it's so hard to keep up with.
Well, you've got these guys like CJ McCollum, who's coming out of the American League, I believe it is, and he's just signed a
$100 million contract.
$100 million contract, and Adam Morrison was Player of the Year, and he probably made $2 million. Maybe I don't even know. But he did get a ring, though, right? Adam Morrison has a championship.
Yeah, I think he had a couple of those.
Yeah, he has a few with the Lakers, right?
Yeah, sweeping up the practice court for Kobe.
Somebody's got to practice, right?
Literally, somebody has to sweep up the floor.
I think he actually, while he was playing, I think he might have got moved to the video coordinator, but that was just Chris Broussard rumor. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
So, we talked about Boston. We talked about the Thunder, your love for KD. I want to move forward a little bit. Since this is the first podcast, you know, I think, you know, if we're going to continue to do this, you know, we got all have to know where you stand. So we're learning a little bit about you. The next place I want to take it is the Warriors, because, you know, everybody loves the Warriors, but not you. You despise the Warriors. And I've never met somebody that literally, I mean, can get actually very angry when talking about the Warriors.
I think I almost hate every player on them. I think I tweeted, and I think you probably saw it during the Western Conference Finals. And I know that was when we lost, but it was even when it was like game 5 when we were up 3-1, I think, at the time, the Thunder. When I say we, I mean the Thunder. Because I'm on the team. And I contributed a lot. No, but I think I tweeted that I hate Steve Kerr. I hate David Lee, even though he's not on the team anymore. I hate Steve Kerr's mom. I hate Steph Curry. I hate Steph Curry. Steph Curry's beautiful 3-year-old daughter. I hate them all. But no, it was really, I mean, it's more, it started with Draymond, and then it moved on to not being the biggest fan of Clay's. And I don't really, I obviously don't have any problem with Steph Curry. Yeah, it's incredible, but I just, I don't know. I just think they're the most arrogant team this year that I've ever watched. And I have, as Dugan knows, and you guys probably don't know, I have league pass, and I waste away from pretty much November through April watching every regular season game. And I couldn't watch them at some nights. Like when they played the Nets and they would like show up the worst team in the league and be running around doing airplanes. And it was just, it was hard to watch.
So I got to tell you,
I thought for a while,
the thought that kept coming to my mind, I'd see you tweet or I'd text you, we text or say something. And I would say, you know, when we were living together and we were watching all those League Pass games and everything, all it was how much you hate the Clippers. And it was, God, I hate the Clippers. God, I fuck them. I hate the Clippers. I hate everything about them. And now it's like, now I think the Warriors have passed the Clippers for you, which is crazy.
I think so, because I think that since everyone turned on the Clippers, that I didn't hate them as much, because since everyone started hating the Clippers this last season.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the Clippers are a notoriously hated team, because
of Blake Griffin.
Because of, well, Blake, but everybody, the attitude, the flopping, the foul begging,
Doc Rivers crying on every single play.
Doc Rivers literally losing his mind, coming to the Clippers and losing his mind in every aspect of basketball. There's a lot of levels up. Paying his son $35 million to stay probably the fourth point guard.
He's not good.
That's a whole other story. But so, now I just know that Dieter's, I think on the scale of most hated, I think it's safe to say the Warriors have passed the Clippers.
And I almost thought about feeling sorry for Draymond for his pathetic.
Okay.
At this point, it's been, how many bad months has it been in a row? From like four?
We got to talk about this. As much as
he almost won his team the title, he also basically lost the team the title from game five in the finals. So that was a bad month.
Well, that's true. We're on different sides of the suspension, I'm pretty sure. But I think yours might be just because the hatred is over. Well, and it was against the Thunder, so that also multiplies it.
The two groin shots, the most blatant punch between the legs that I've ever seen in my life, Stephen Adams, my Kiwi brother, you can't do that. And then you can't ever hit LeBron James. Well, the belt, it's not how it works. It's the NBA.
Yeah.
LeBron James, same thing. I mean, it's been a bad 4 months for Draymond Green. Hopefully he doesn't somehow find a way to make USA not win gold. I don't know how he could possibly do it, but let's hope not.
So,
and we need to get him off Snapchat.
So he gets suspended game five, which, you know, ultimately loses his team. I'm not going to put it on him, but obviously had a huge part in that. Then, not even a month later after the season, he gets arrested outside of a club, I guess, in Michigan for fighting, right?
In East Lansing, fighting a 21-year-old Michigan State football player. So he's still partying in college.
Yeah. So he went back to college, Then... what happened after that? I mean, obviously, then we get. Was there something before the dick pic?
I don't think so. I think it was just a snap storing the whole world.
So then he.
I think that was the main issue.
Snaps his dick to his My Story, and sends it to God only knows how many people follow him on Snapchat. Probably
was there for
a billion.
Was there for 15 minutes. He's up for 15 minutes before Snap, just looking at his dick. It's crazy.
Somebody,
God, I don't follow that guy because I hate him so much, but that would have been traumatizing.
Somebody definitely sent him a snap and was like, dude, take your My Story off right now. He had no idea. So I get on Twitter, and I didn't hear anything about it, but I read a news, I forget where it was, but I read like an article or something. It was like Draymond Green apologizing for something. And I click on it, and it says, you know, he's apologizing for sending, or he said, he said that he got hacked. That is his Snapchat got hacked. And which, yeah, is obviously the go-to. Then it turns out that he comes out and says, and actually owns up, which I'll give him a little respect for that, that he came out and said, okay, yeah, I just hit the wrong, send it to the wrong thing in my story, whatever. But then it was just like, the bottom of the article was like, we're not going to put it on here, but all you have to do is search it for on Twitter. And I go to my timeline and it was everywhere. And man, there was some funny stuff. I mean, I kind of feel bad for him because there, I saw some mean stuff, but.
Yeah, well, you guys got to get it together.
Yeah, so he's not having the best offseason.
It's pretty basic. It's pretty a basic app. Like, I've never accidentally snapped or something.
Yeah.
Let alone me naked.
Do you think it was intentional?
I don't know. I don't know what's. I just don't know.
With Draymond, it could be anything.
Yeah, I don't trust that guy for a second. Who knows?
Well, I also.
He doesn't sabotage the whole. The whole Olympics, because it's very possible.
Yeah. So let's take it over to the Olympics real quick. Have you been following that at all?
I watched only the first China game, and then I've just watched highlights. I don't think there was any reason to watch, like, the who was it, Nigeria the other night. That's going to be a bloodbath, obviously. I saw that Coach K, well, the funniest two parts of the, well, I think this was hand-in-hand in the same game. The funniest parts were DeMar DeRozan trying to do a contested 360 dunk on a guy.
Yes.
And then after the game, Coach K saying, I think we're getting too complacent about these games and thinking this is what the real Olympics are going to be like. And it's not. They go play like Spain and France and Serbia and Lithuania, they're not going to be able to do 360 dunks mid-game. I'm not sure DeMar DeRozan is aware of that.
Well, see, that's the thing. Everyone was freaking out. They're like, I can't believe you tried that. But the way I'm looking at it is, yes, you call it an exhibition game, but let's be honest. They picked the four worst-ranked teams in the entire field, I believe, if not down at the bottom. I believe we have China first round, who might be dead last in rankings. I'll have to look that one up. But,
probably Nigeria.
They call it an exhibition game, but let's be honest. All this is before we leave the country, let's get some fans, Americans, into the gym, and let's just have a little bit of a all-star game, a little dunk show. That's all it is.
People were freaking out.
I'm like, hey, why not? Go for it, man. You know, as long as you don't get hurt, which, you know, that obviously lends yourself to get a little the possibility of getting hurt. But where I'm at is we all know that we're going to win by 100 million on these games. I say, hey, DeMar, go ahead.
I mean,
show out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, DeMar is about 25, but same age as us, and he was probably 10 as well when Vince Carter jumped over the guy in the actual Olympics. So, I mean, he was probably just trying to hit Vince Carter moment. I guess I get it.
Yeah, I mean, if he ever came out with that, though, if he ever said that in a presser, I would have to hate him. I'm not going to lie. You cannot, for those who don't know, about little fact about me, Vince Carter, in my opinion, is one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite players, but in my opinion, he's the best dunker of all time. And that dunk, in the what year Olympics was that? I don't even know.
It was probably 04.
Was it 04?
04.
No.
Yeah, I think so. 2000, Sydney.
Yeah. He was not. He was not on the 04 team.
2000. No, the Sydney Olympics 2000.
2000 Sydney, when he jumped over that 7-foot guy, best dunk of all time. So hey, DeMar, if you're going for it. All right, I mean, I guess you know, try it, but you're not gonna touch Vince. There's no way. But,
and Dugan would also get very angry when I would call Vince Carter the biggest flopper of all time. Not even the flop; he wouldn't even flop. He was more of the rolling around on the ground after being fouled, and then jumping up and dunking on someone right afterwards.
It's all mind game, man. It's all mental. Vince knew what he was doing. Vince is one of those guys that just has never done anything wrong. He just never has. He's a perfect NBA player, and I just always wanted to play basketball like him and be able to have a 900-inch vertical. That's all.
You would hate the Bill Simmons Book of Basketball. Like, couple pages on Vince Carter, you would nothing would make you more mad probably on this whole planet, I would say. And, yeah, yeah. He goes, it's brutal. He flames on.
God.
For like 7 pages.
I love Bill Simmons, but I feel like he always, like the players that I like are not necessarily the big names. And those are the guys that he just shreds. Like, you know, I love Vince. You know, I love like Kenyon Martin, like people that like nobody really likes. But then Vince was probably the biggest name other than MJ, obviously. But Vince, we always used to talk about this with one of my old roommates, that he's just one of those guys that he's going to be playing when he's 50. He's still going to, you're going to go up to the YMCA and he's going to be in there just like dropping 30 in a YMCA, like a grown man league, you know? And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know why. I just love him a lot.
With an Uncle Drew beard.
Right. He's going to be dunking like him too, still probably. He's going to be like, what's Dr. J? What was he like, 60 something? He's still dunked in that 30 for 30.
Yeah. Crazy.
But I got distracted a little bit. God, once you get me on the Vince Carter talk, man, it's hard to get me off.
I shouldn't have brought it up. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, you know better than that. But back to the Olympics. So 5-0 in the exhibition games, which honestly don't mean anything. People are freaking out because, you know, the lack of competition and we're just messing around. We are clearly the best team. But, yeah, it is not going to be – I don't want to – It definitely is a possibility of being a cakewalk. It has been for the past few Olympics, but, you know, you can't ever go in like that. There actually is a couple teams to watch out for. Is it Croatia has a pretty solid squad this year, I think.
Serbia's in it.
Serbia's in there. You know, you still have Spain, even though Marcus Sol's out, but Spain's still obviously there. They're always somebody to look out for. So
I think that's who is going to be the final. I think Brazil is going to try to make a run, but it would help to get Barajal. Just with those home crowds, they're probably going to be insane in Rio going for Brazil. So I'll bet they had to pull a couple upsets and get near the medal round for Brazil. But I would say I don't see any way it doesn't end up being Spain, USA for the third straight Olympics, I guess. Yeah, three straight, I would say.
Yeah, so
and those last two were actually close in the final. I think they won by 10 or so both times going.
Yeah, it was not like the first, you know, like the opening round where we're winning by 20, 30. It was definitely not like that.
Yeah, and I mean with Gasol, with Mark, it would have been huge. But I mean, Paul still ended up going, even though that he wasn't going to. He decided to freeze his sperm, so now he can go to the Olympics. and I don't know. I still think that team's. I mean, they still have. Probably, I think, 7 or 8 NBA players with Calderon, or at least NBA level players with Calderon and Rubio and Rudy Fernandez and all those dudes. I mean, they'll put up a fight for sure, especially if the Team USA is taking it like it's China and exhibitions or something.
Yeah, well, see that's the thing, man. I have this conversation actually a lot. Not taking it seriously, but. My thing is it's kind of hard to say. I'm on like two opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to the Olympics. I either think that we should have a committee that that says, hey, you made the team, you're part of the squad, you have to play, or the other complete end where we go back to the old days and have like college guys or like amateur or something like that, because we still have obviously a great percentage to win, but you know, doing having a team like we have this year where we don't have three of the biggest and best players in the league, or not three of the best but three of the probably top five, and just having like a more of a mediocre team than anything, I mean, that doesn't say that we're going to lose, but it definitely gives the most possibility for an upset, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can, I get what you're saying. I guess you can't force them to go, though. I mean, especially with the way Rio is apparently just falling apart.
Yeah, that's true.
But Team USA is apparently staying on, they're not even staying in Olympic Village, they're staying on like a luxury cruise ship in the harbor, apparently.
Really?
Did you hear about that?
No.
Yeah, they're like, they aren't staying in Olympic Village, they're staying on like a luxury cruise ship or something, which is probably going to be the most insane party ever.
Oh man,
I can imagine. I would imagine Calvin Harris just plays 24/7, like actually there playing, like in the flesh the whole time. I would assume it's something like that, and then just I assume they have like a helicopter that flies into the city and picks up all the women from the other countries.
Well, they better watch out. They better watch out because I mean we all know that Kyrie loves boat parties, man. We know that.
Yeah, he does. He does. That is true. Infamous.
Well,
We'll see, though. I don't really know what the Team USA. It's going to be interesting. I think they should still win, but I guess you can't make them go. It's a shame that LeBron's not going. It would have been incredible to see LeBron. Steph wasn't much of a factor in the. Well, he didn't go last time either. He never went. And then in the 2014 World Championships, I think he only averaged like 10 points a game before his meteoric rise. So, right. I mean. That would have been his first time. So, I mean, I guess with that knee injury, I guess it makes sense. But it would have been nice to have those two. But, I mean, at least Durant and Melo. If Durant wouldn't have went, I think they would have been in trouble with Melo and a lot of people that have never played in the Olympics.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. One more guy. Let's say one more guy. Even Paul George, you know, somebody like that. One more down, you know, and then I'm kind of like, I mean, don't get me wrong. We're head and heels above everybody else as far as worldwide and the elite NBA is obviously, you know, the best, but you know, it just, I don't know, kind of worries me.
I wouldn't have wanted to play Spain without Durant. I really wouldn't have. I just think there's so many people that have never played it before, aren't going to be used to the crowds. There's different rules. There's the crowds are insane. The refs get swayed by the crowds in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Like crazy. It's just a whole different beast. And that's why you have to have people that have done it before. So it's very lucky that Durant didn't bail. I was getting very worried when it was Russell gone, Steph's gone, LeBron's gone. It was starting to get shaky, but I think they should still pull it off.
Definitely, definitely. Right, last thing before we move on. I came across a couple stats today for the Olympics. Listen to this. As of today, exhibition games included, Coach K's record is, 80-1. As an Olympic head coach, and we know that he said this year will be his last, I believe.
Yeah, Popovich has taken over. So
wow. So
I wonder. I don't even remember who they lost to. It must have been during.
So here I got this. I got you on this.
I think it was.
So we're riding.
Before 2008, I would say.
We're riding right now. Going into Saturday, we're riding a 17-game win streak. Since 1936, the USA Olympic basketball team's record, what would you say? Since 1936, what was your guess?
It's got to be insane, like 307 or something. I have no idea what it would be.
So the record is we are 130-5. But here's the kicker. Cool. Here's the kicker. The last time we lost was in 2004. We lost three games out of the five was in 04. We settled for a bronze medal. And I just want to throw a couple names at you real quick that they decided, hey, these guys are the best of the best and they have to be on this team to represent. Okay. The first one that just kills me, Stephon Marbury.
Captain America himself.
Oh my God! Like, okay, I know he's good, man, but is he your starting point guard on the U.S. Olympic team? That's just mind blowing. Allen Iverson was the one guard. He only averaged he averaged almost 13 points a game in that whole Olympic run. What was he sick? I don't know. Did he party too hard? What happened to him? The guy averaged like 24 points a game.
Dear God.
So listen to this roster. D Wade, obviously. So, Carlos Boozer.
Boozer used to be able to play. Now he's playing in China this year, I think they said.
Emeka Okafor.
Emeka was never very good at all.
Made the Olympic team. Jefferson.
That's shocking. He's like a 12-10 guy, maybe at his peak.
Maybe, and that was for like half a season. I don't even know. I don't know what made that happen. Lamar Odom, which it's just funny to look back now because.
Never been an all-star.
Richard Jefferson, Amari Stoudemire, Sean Marion, The Matrix made the Olympic team. A few times,
actually.
After
the run and gun Phoenix Suns.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the weird thing. We still got LeBron, super young, but LeBron, Carmelo, and D-Wade on the team. You would think, I guess they were only what?
Melo didn't get any minutes back then. I don't think they said. Scored like 10 points the whole Olympics, I heard.
Well, they were only, I guess they'd be, what, 2 years into the league at that point? What year did they draft? They 01 or 02, I think.
I think they were the 02 or 03 draft.
Yeah. So they were babies, but
his rookie year, yeah,
they were babies. I just thought, I found that really interesting. I was like, well, what five? I think we lost in no like favor. 90. I think we lost a game in like 90, like six or something, just like randomly. But three out of five in 04 was not the year for us.
That was Ginobili.
Yeah, Argentina. So it ended up going. I believe that was. Argentina won that year. Italy came in second, which they had a pretty good squad. But yeah, we ended up 5-3 for the third place. But so moving on, last section here that we'll talk about here. Let me hear what team, as far as free agent moves, what surprises you, what do you like, what don't you like, and what team other than the Thunder, and we already talked about Boston, what team's bandwagon are you jumping on? Just for a rooting.
Yeah, if we're talking free agency, there's a couple of funny things. I think Portland overpaid so much to everyone to stay the sixth best team in the West. I don't think they did. There was no reason to pay Alan Crabbe $18 million.
What?
A year. It was,
did anybody look at his stats from last year? I don't understand. Am I the only one that's confused by that?
No, the Nets just paid him, and for some reason they matched, and I don't know why. they paid so much money to stay the sixth best team in the West, and I don't see it changing. And I think there's no reason they shouldn't have waited until next summer with the big moves.
Right, and then they signed.
It was just so dumb, I think.
Well, also, didn't they sign Myles Leonard to, like, he's making like $15 million a year or something crazy, and he like broke his back last year. I don't even know if he played like half the games. I don't. The CJ, I get the CJ thing.
Yeah, you had to keep CJ. Yeah, that made sense. I just found Trav was awful, and that, I don't remember all the other ones. There was a couple that they paid that were terrible.
Right.
I think it's funny, Jordan. I think my personal worst one was somebody that's going to be at the Olympics, Nick Batum, getting. I think it was 100. Actually, the worst one is probably, I think, Mike Conley. But I think the second worst, the most surprising to me, because I knew Mike Conley was going to get the max, the most surprising to me was how much money the Nick Batum got. Like, it's absolutely insane that they're going to be paying. I think I looked that up, and he's 28 now. And in his age 33 season, they're going to be paying him $36 million.
Oh, my.
It was getting like 25 this year or something, and then it slowly goes up. And when that guy is 33 years old, like a skinny, frail 33-year-old Frenchman is going to be making $36 million a year.
What?
And I think it's the most shocking thing that anyone's ever done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mind-blowing. Mind-blowing.
Like, he had a good year, but the best he could be is like an 18, 7, and 4 guy. Like, he's just not more than that. He's just never going to be more than like a name. Maybe 18, 19, 5, and 7 or something like that.
Right.
Which is insane.
You're not talking about anywhere near a max player. I mean,
no,
statistics wise, you're not even, it's not even an op. Like, you think, oh, who's a max player? Nick Batum would not come to mind ever.
No, I was really thinking about him when the day Durant left. I was thinking, I was like, he would have been a really good fit for the Thunder at $12 million,
a little bit less.
It's so funny. And then I just, not to rip on the Grizzlies, but I just think it's insane that the money they just shelled out to just Chandler Parsons, who I love, but they're just, you don't pay $23 million a year, and then you just pile it on by giving the biggest contract in history to Mike Conley. It's just I don't know what they're thinking. We've both been in that arena, and I get it that they don't sell out. You just stay good. But I just think it was just a giant mistake again. I just think that keeping Conley, okay, maybe, but selling out all that money for Chandler Parsons, I think they're just going to completely regret it, especially with all the knee surgeries.
Yeah, definitely. So. Two quick things about that I have. I kind of am starting to feel bad for Chandler Parsons because I really feel by the end of his career, these contracts, even Dallas, what they were paying him, these contracts that he's signing are really setting him up to be, at the end of his career, to be one of those, like, overpaid busts of all time. If you accumulate his contracts and his production on the court, he could possibly go down as one of the biggest overpaid bust things. And so I feel bad for him because I really like him, but that's not looking good. Number two.
It's really, it's just interesting too because he came out of nowhere. Originally, he was the exact opposite. He was a bargain, the second round pick, making nothing, and possibly becoming one of the biggest overpaid players ever.
Yeah. Dallas really put him up on that pedestal, and everybody else, they really bit for it hard.
You know that city, too. I don't see Chandler Parsons as being the marketable guy that city's going to rally around and come to the arena to see.
No.
It's not that kind of city. It's a tough, rough, work-hard type of city that's blue-collar city, and Chandler Parsons is – you're going to be seeing him on magazines doing modeling and with just pretty models and things. It's like it's not the city of Memphis at all.
Especially if he has any of the smallest tweak – to anything, he's sitting because been there, done that, and no chances for that amount of money. Cannot take it. So that's going to be interesting. Keep going. Your next point here.
Yeah, so I mean, that's my answer to the ridiculous contracts. For teams, a lot of people are talking about two of them that I definitely agree with, though. I love the Bucks. I think they're going to make a big jump this year.
Yeah.
I love Giannis. I like Jabari.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton can play. I think they're just one player away from really jumping into at least the middle of the East. I don't know if it's going to be this year or not because I think they might still be a player away, as I mentioned. But they're going to be – I love that team. Giannis, I think, is going to make a step this year and average something like 28 rebounds, 7 assists. The guy's going to be running point guard at 6'11", which is going to be the most fun team to watch.
Definitely.
Like if you have league pass this year – that's the team to be watching every night. It's gonna be so much fun.
Definitely.
And then hopefully Minnesota. I'm hoping for them just for that franchise. It's been ever since it never worked out when they traded Garnett. They thought they got enough back and they didn't. It just seems like it's gonna be a good team. I'm really excited to see what happens with them. I wasn't always the biggest Carl Anthony Towns fan last year, but he can definitely play. I think he's gonna step it up this year, and that's gonna be a special team. So I think I'm going to lean towards one of those if I'm jumping on, more likely to Milwaukee. Those are probably the two teams that I'm really excited about watching jump into the playoffs, hopefully, this year.
Yeah. It's I can't disagree with you. I really like the Bucks. We liked them last year a lot. I actually was a little critical. The interesting thing to me about the Timberwolves is kind of with the Bucks, you kind of know what you're getting. You're kind of hoping for an improvement of what you know of what we saw from last year. But the Wolves, kind of the same thing. But for me personally, who I didn't get a chance to see much of the Timberwolves play at all. But people are talking like Carl Anthony Towns is the next number one star, superstar of the league, which is interesting to me with the way that it's turning with all the threes and the shooting and everything. I know you loved Andrew Wiggins. You're a big Wiggins guy.
Yeah, I did. I did like Wiggins. He did make a little bit of a step forward last year, but not too much, to be honest. I'm interested to see if he with the three, as you mentioned, the way the league is going with just playing small, if he could play three and four rather than trying to play the two and shoot threes, it would be huge for that team. If he could play all the time at three, a little bit at four, I think it would be huge for that team.
Well, you think you said earlier that you think Dunn's going to take the one from Rubio.
Yeah. Before the end of the year, I just think the Rubio thing just doesn't seem like it ever panned out, and I think they wouldn't have drafted Dunn if they really thought that Rubio is the solution for long term. I mean, he's 25 right now. The jumper doesn't seem like it's happening. It's still just that awful set shot. I mean, I think he would take my jumper right now, which is terrifying. Well, to think about, but I really think he would, like, the setup of my jumper. I think he would take that over his current shot. And I am, as you know, one of the streakiest, only good 1 day out of 10 at shooting things. And Rubio, I think, would be happy to be good 1 day out of 10.
Well, you know how I feel about Rubio. I've had the same stance since they talked about him, since they said, hell, well, he's coming in the league next year. He's working on his game overseas. Then he came over. I've had the same stance on him. Not impressed. Wasn't then. Still I'm not. But what do you think about Rubio 1, Dunn 2, Wiggins getting moved down to a 3? Then we go, what would it be? Anthony Towns at a 4 or 5, and I think it was a Petrovic as the big man, which I love Petrovic. I think that's how you say his name. And then you got Tibbs coming over, which is huge. Yeah, they really got some upside. They're going to be really even if they don't pan out to be as good as we think, they're definitely going to be fun to watch. So watch out for them and the Bucks for sure.
Yeah, I like that you said Tibbs, because the one thing that another reason about Rubio is he leads the league. He gets close to leading the league in steals every year, but that's not the type of defense Tibbs likes. He doesn't like the people cheating and shooting the gaps, and he likes the real lockdown, stay in the scheme and that kind of thing. So I don't think he's going to love Rubio cheating and going for steals and shooting gaps and everything. I don't think that's going to bode well for Rubio as well.
Yeah, that's that. You got to think about that too, because Tibbs, he runs his own system. He has his rules. And we've already had a few guys butt heads with them, and so if you don't get on that system, then you know, you're in trouble.
And he's not just a coach now; he's the president of basketball operations.
Yeah, so well, he'll send your ass away. Don't fuck with them, because your ass is gonna get traded to the fucking Nets or something.
Yeah.
So we'll have to talk about the next time we do this. We'll it's still early, obviously.
Yeah.
We're in the first week of August right now. The Olympics start this weekend. And as far as the free agency and the trading and all that stuff, the off-season moves, we can talk up again, really get into that next time that we do this, because there was a bunch of stuff that happened. The last thing I want to comment on with that is, well, two things. Number one, my favorite low-key move that nobody has talked about is Birdman going to the Cavs. I think he will really help them a lot. More than you would think. I think I really, you know, I love Birdman, so might be a little biased, but also the biggest contract that I really wanted to ask you about was your boy Deion Waiters, but it turned out that he ended up getting like $6 million. I guess at first we thought that he was gonna sign with the Heat for the minimum, but I guess it ended up being somewhat of, even though in the offseason we have guys like Alan Crabb and guys like Harrison Barnes who are making just a ridiculous amount of money, and then Deion Waiters gets like $1.5 million, $2 million a year or something. Like,
the craziest thing about the Deion thing is everyone was talking during that finals, or the West Finals, when he was just going off, and he was saving the Thunder in a couple of those games, hitting big corner threes, getting steals, playing very well. People were talking about possibly teams giving him 15 to like 18 million. And that was a real narrative in the league. And then to get whatever he ended up getting, which is nothing compared to the market value that it seemed like he was going to have. You know, I don't love the guy, but I was actually shocked by how little he got. It's pretty crazy. Deion Waiters Island, he's got a bad rap, and I don't know how he's going to fight himself out of it. It's going to take years to fight himself out of it.
I'm starting to think that maybe they gave him his own island. I don't know. They had to have thrown something. There had to be some kind of incentive thrown in, a package or something that we're not getting to the press or something, because he didn't even shop that long. He was like, all right, $2 million, $3 million a year. Okay, cool. Like, it wasn't even like – he's like one of the, you know, people are talking about him going to go to back home to Philly and do all, I don't know. It's not even really worth talking about, because Deion is just, he's just really not worth it. It's just like, it's just a funny thing. I really honestly thought that he was going to sign the smallest contract, which would have been Actually, I don't know if it is the small. It's probably not the smallest contract.
Probably not anymore. But
for a starter, for a decent playoff performance, that's definitely the smallest that I know of. And to me, that's just hilarious.
Yeah, my last comment is circling back to the Birdman thing. You know I love Birdman. You saw my 2012 Halloween costume.
That's true.
I was
you have
to the bone. I shaved my head. I had a massive mohawk.
That's true. To let everybody know, down in school and college, Dieters dressed up as Birdman. Man, I might have to find a picture and put that up on the page when we post this or something. I don't know, because God, that was great.
Absolutely. It went well. I think people really, really liked it. You know,
with the arm, you had the arm tat. Was it the mohawk? Were you rocking the mohawk?
Oh, I mohawked so hard. I looked
mohawk.
Ridiculous. Everyone hated it. By the way, I was joking. Everyone hated it. It was a hell of a shot. I actually put that on my Bumble profile for a while. didn't get many connections. There wasn't much traffic that week. Yeah, didn't go well.
Well, Dieters, I got to tell you, man, it was a good time talking with you. We will. What do you say? You come back when we do this again at a later time, and we talk about some more stuff. I really want to get into some of the deal specifically. There's a couple other things like. This Kobe article that he wrote to himself. There's a bunch of stuff still happening as far as the offseason and the Olympics will still be going on. So we'll have stuff to talk about. So what do you think about maybe coming back,
for
the next time?
No, I'm definitely down to drop by again. Thanks for having me on. And let me know.
Yeah, definitely. Tell everybody in Boston. Let's get the Boston audience.
Yeah, I think they'll like my comments on them loving Tom Brady because they love Tom Brady.
Oh, believe me, I know. We can definitely get into that because football will be starting up soon, as we all know. So, yeah. Cool. Well, for this one, we'll wrap this up, and thanks for coming by. I'll be talking to you soon.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks. Fresh time. Fresh time.